So are we supposed to be on it at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay. I did not know that. So Will is like a super busy producer, track guy. Gonna get him on. But hey, I have my roommate. You're familiar with Dylan Marlowe?
I'm not, but it doesn't matter. What's his name?
Dylan Marlowe.
So Dylan, so you're doing good. You've got millions of listens now on Spotify or whatever. Yeah, You're All About It has 10 million plays.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's good.
I didn't even know it.
Yeah, you're crushing awesome. It, bro. You see that thing with Joni Mitchell on the other day? She got up and she sang, you know, and she's you guys know who Joni Mitchell is?
Mm-mm.
Push, if you want, you can just push them off the screen.
Just like,
yeah, there you go. They're looking better already. Hey, this is Party Like a Rockstar podcast, and I'm your host, Joel. Today's episode is brought to you by Misha's Kind Foods. They're an LA-based small business making the world's finest non-dairy cheese on the market today. They're lactose-free, paleo, keto, kosher, perev, and 100% vegan. If you like what you see, check out the next video. If you like this video, please subscribe and like by clicking the little round button on the bottom right. To learn more about me or our other guests on the show, go to joelrody.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok. The handle is Joel Rody. If you haven't already read my book, Memoir of a Rody, it's now available through Amazon and paperback Kindle or as an audiobook. I hope you enjoy the show. Noah Hicks is a country artist. He recently released a music video for his new single, Breaking Up and Getting Drunk. It's kind of cool. His Billboard chose him as their Country Rookie of the Month back in April. He's releasing a 6-track EP called Tripping Over My Boots, September 30th. His buddy is Noah Marlowe. Noah Marlowe is a country artist too. He's releasing a single called Why Did We Break Up Again next month, and he's also releasing a 6-song EP in a couple months. You guys are busy together here. It's good, man. It's good.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you some shit right out of the gates here. So I spent some time listening to Breaking Up and Getting Drunk. I watched the music video, and I want to know, how the fuck did you guys afford Zach Galifianakis? And why are you drinking Miller the whole fucking video?
You know, it's the one beer that just good, manly. You know, you can't drink Michelob.
The song says Bud.
I guess, Bud Heavies. I mean, that's fair. I mean, hey.
I want to know who did your art department.
John.
Okay, so I don't want to go Miller over Bud in case you get sponsored one day. They'll be like, we can't pick you because you fucking drank Miller. My last name is Miller, so I noticed it immediately. I was like, oh. And then who's Zach Galifianakis?
That's just my buddy from back home. He's just an old frat dude. He's okay. A dude in college.
He was an incredible performer. That's why I was like, he's very talented, this guy. It was good. And then what was the other one? I like the beginning of the video was, how did you do it? Let me try. It's going real good. Real, 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 real good.
Yeah.
Is that pretty good? There you go, right?
Close enough.
Close enough. Okay, cool. So how do you two guys know each other originally then?
That's what's funny to talk about. Yeah. It's like a new age, like a
through thing. Instagram.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
So you guys are both doing good in country. I know that. So you're coming up. But you knew each other because of Instagram, because you're both sharing music all the time, or am I an idiot and it was some hot chick that you fucking both hitting on Instagram or something? I don't know. But how did you guys meet?
Music thing, right?
Yeah. So like, I feel like I was definitely the approacher, if that makes sense. I was the predator and Dylan was my prey. And he lived in Statesboro, and he had a buddy that was Trey Landon, and they were like, you know, just working your way up, and you know, you see like Dylan's like, all right, he looks like somebody I can get along with my age, whatever. DM him, we start texting, he sends me songs, and I can't remember if I sent him a bunch of songs. I know that I still have some old ones on my phone.
So and you write to him on Instagram and you just say, hey, I like your shit. I don't know, probably, yeah. Right? I think and the guy writes back, oh, okay, cool. You know, who the fuck are you? But
no.
Were you guys already in, because you're both, you're from Georgia, is that right?
We're both from Georgia.
Yep, Georgia boys.
Both from Georgia. So you guys contacted one another back there or here?
This was back 5 or 6 years ago. At least five, really. Yeah, for sure. Right at the beginning.
All right, first time you guys met up in person, how drunk you get?
That was first time I met up in person. You had that Eddie Zadek round with Brian and some other dude. And that was the first time I met you because Screech gave me shit about really. Yeah. So Dylan wrote my first single. He 100% or my first single, Raised on the Radio. So that was kind of like the. It's kind of funny how like you know you said the roadies here, you hear the roadie stories, like ours is like kind of like a. It's literally our trees have been growing together. If that makes sense. Like it's literally kind of cool how it works. Like worked out like that.
That's super cool. Yeah.
But yeah, he would send me songs that were really good, and I think you had 11/11 come out.
Yeah.
And then I hit up you to see who did all that.
Okay, so that's how you met Brad.
And that's how I met Brad. Yeah, and that's how I met Brad, and then started working.
But did he start all these songs about drinking? That's his fault.
Probably
writing like beautiful love songs, and then this guy came along. He's like, "We're gonna write about drinking."
So that's all I did where I was from.
Right.
Yeah. Might be guilty.
I'm getting into the songwriter thing, but I never would. Like, I never thought of myself as a songwriter. I never tried to write songs. I can't decide on what underwear to wear in the morning, so I can't decide the line. But I mean,
no underwear is the answer. Exactly. But the there's a Dolly Parton. You know, they did that film on her recently. Dolly Parton. So I think that's what she said. She just considers herself a songwriter first and foremost. And it's kind of like, oh, come on. You got the greatest fucking country voice, my opinion, ever. I can't get enough of Dolly, but you consider yourself more of a songwriter. It's cool. You know, it's cool to think of because writing a good song, it's fucking hard. You know, it's really hard.
100%. That's why.
I had a guy on here, Bob Reagan, man. And this fucking dude. Him and he brought on his buddy. They've written so much country. It's just crazy. And I got, I wrote this song. I told you, I wrote this song for Darius Rucker, and I got invited to this singer songwriter thing. And all these dudes were legit. Like they were no joke. Like every song on the radio, one of the guys in that room wrote it. And you got dumbass me sitting there. And I'm just looking, well, Bob Reagan was like the man of all of them, you know, and he co-wrote the song Dig Two Graves, Randy Travis. You can dig two graves, but carve only one stone, because without you here, I'm all alone. It's something like that. And I remember looking, I'm like, you won the game, bro. That is the best lyric I fucking ever heard.
Right.
So I got them to come on. It was real neat. Dude, Garth Brooks was a session singer for them. At like $30.
That's wild.
And then it was like $40 or something to sing a fucking demo. That was the cost to have Garth Brooks sing. And he wasn't their number one choice.
Wow.
Yeah, nuts. Yeah, my song, unfortunately, was about not drinking, so you guys wouldn't like it.
Nah, probably still like it.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a Moretti beer. It's like has a guy in it. There's like a guy wearing like a hat. So I'm wasted. I wrote this song to the dude on the beer can. And then, I don't know, it changed somehow to be about God. And then Darius sang it. It did really good on Christian radio.
Is that 100%er?
The what?
You got it by yourself?
No. Hell no. No, I'm not that talented. No, I wrote it with Dean. Dean is in Toad the Wet Sprocket. You guys have heard of them? Mm-mm. So you'd know a couple of their songs. I'd sing them, but is bad. But they did a big song called All I Want. You definitely know it if you play it. You'll have heard it. It's like the song that's on in the supermarket every time you go in. So yeah, it's cool. Anyway, so you got some dates lined up, I saw, Noah. So you're doing you got Indiana coming up, and then you're going back to Georgia.
Yeah,
that would be a good song title. Going back, actually, I don't know, you might not know, Going Back to Georgia is a song with Nancy Griffith and Adam Duritz from Counting Crows. You should listen to it since you guys are virgins. But and then you're going on tour with what is it, Granger Smith?
No, I just got one. I got one show with him, and then I got a couple headliner stuff, and you know, just other stuff here and there. I got a weekend out with Ernest, but I know shit. Dylan's got a fat little tour coming up.
Yeah. What do you got? Showboat.
I know, Showboat.
If you want, you can just push them off the screen.
Just like,
yeah, there you go. That looks better already. This is way more interesting. What do you got?
No, we got some dates with Cole Swindell coming up and in the fall. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Word.
Have either of you guys done a national tour yet?
Yeah,
I guess technically.
No, you did. That's a national tour, bro. You went out. Yeah. You went out to California.
Yeah, we went out with a guy named Dylan Scott for a couple months and opened his shows up, and they were really fun.
Yeah, you had, I mean, yeah, this will be your second tour hopping on with a major label act, which is pretty lit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys going to do when
you say what?
What are you guys going to do when you have your own places? You'll be like in Talladega Nights. You'll be calling each other and being like, hey, how do I turn on the spa?
I'm going to come out there on your property. Hell yeah.
Yeah, probably.
What's it in there? How do you turn on your spa and your stereo at the same time?
Oh, come on, stereo system. Yeah.
That was great. Yeah,
that was good. Yeah.
Well, that's good stuff. So Dylan, you're doing good. You've got millions of listens now on Spotify or whatever. Yeah, You're All About It has 10 million plays.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's good.
I didn't even know it.
Yeah, you're crushing it, bro. See what else? And you got some coming up too. I'll Keep the Country is at 6 million something. So
working on it.
Yeah, you're doing. I mean, you're rocking.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, it's good. So, you write this stuff yourself? Do you also co-write with people?
Yeah, I co-write a bunch still. Yeah, my process is a lot like. A lot of times I'll kind of have an idea and try to write. I'm very like stubborn when it comes to writing. Like I kind of want to write what I want to write.
What do you want to write?
Just like whenever I have an idea, I kind of want to write it my way rather than going in and writing for somebody else. And in this town, like with us writing, you know, sometimes you get hooked up with some other artists writing, and sometimes songwriters want to write towards radio or something more mainstream. So I try to like write a lot of my stuff. I'll try to like write the chorus or write a verse or a melody or something the night before and take it in, because I'm stubborn.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So are you guys more players, or you're more lyricists, or what's your strengths, you think?
Probably definitely for me, like melodies. Probably melody and lyric is my thing. I don't really do a lot of like playing.
Yeah.
I kind of leave that to my producer.
Let him
go to town. I mean, I play during my live show, obviously, where we both do play during our live show, obviously. But
yeah, we can play guitar, but I mean, we ain't making the riff on. I'm not making the riff on the track. So
I'm not making a riff either.
But I feel like I'm a melody guy. I moved to town to be an artist. I've never really been like, my first single was a song I didn't write. And then the second song I put out was a song that you and Tyler Chambers basically wrote. And then the third song is, I feel like a little more conjunction, but I mean, I definitely would say at the time, Tyler and Brian wrote my third single. So it's like, I know I'm an artist. So like that's kind of where my head's at, which I'm getting into the songwriting thing, but it's one of them. I just kind of sit back and just try to know what's cool. Don't let anything slide. My vocal's going to be on it, but I don't want it to be, you know.
I mean, the songwriters are going to love you guys. Everybody likes writing their own stuff. These guys, it's hard to get a song placement, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Your phone be ringing off the hook. I got a new one for you. You'll be like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You'd be surprised. We probably get a lot. I know, at least me, I get a lot of waterfall songs, which are the songs that were pitched to somebody that didn't cut. And then it got pitched to a B list that didn't cut it. And then they sent it to me. I'm like, well, I can write a better song about it than that at this point, you know?
Right.
And you should. You should.
Yeah. But I mean, once we get to that point, you know, we'll start getting the first priority. You know,
For sure. I feel like for you though, you spent 4 years in town writing.
Yeah. I'll probably always write most of my stuff.
You've about honed your craft in, I feel like.
Well, yeah. You're doing good at it. So, I mean, you guys both have record labels right now or no?
No.
It's like artist development kind of thing.
Publishing deals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you get 10 million? And you too, man. I mean, you got a lot of, I mean, collectively you're over millions as well. But millions is a big number. I mean, so yeah. It's just playing shows and pushing. How do you do it?
So, I mean, social media too is a huge thing, honestly, nowadays.
You guys put money into social media?
Yes, label puts money into it, but I would say like Dylan's had some more organic. I just had something halfway organically pop off, but Dylan's had some organic stuff just take off on really TikTok. I feel like is a huge thing.
Well, but yeah, I mean,
and we even just started putting these on TikTok, and yeah, it's crazy. I had 20,000 views, I think it is, in the first week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think TikTok helps, and being on the road helps a lot. I mean,
that's being on the road helps because people will listen to you. They like it. Next thing you know, they're listening to all your stuff. You have
especially,
to.
Especially when you have an artist, which I think you definitely, obviously they're your friends, but having an artist that if they take you on tour, they validate you every night.
Yeah.
It's like, I know, like, some artists, like, they'll just take a, they'll pull somebody up and just, like, have them come on the road just because they know they can pull tickets. But, like, Tim McGraw, I think, is real good at that. Mm-hmm. Dylan obviously was good at that. I'm sure Cole Swindell's going to be good at that. Most people are.
Most people are.
But you have, you still have, I've still opened up for a couple of, I would say A-minus, maybe B-plusers that are, that are really, they don't want, you know. They're scared. It's almost like, bro, you brought those all those tickets, dude. Like, I haven't, you know, there's maybe 10 people in the crowd that are there for me. Mm-hmm. So whatever.
Yeah, but it's all timing. Everything came from somewhere. I don't know Tim McGraw's backstory, but I'll guarantee you he was playing in some bullshit places.
Oh yeah.
Which is a question I like to ask. If you guys have any good ones. So some of the fun roadie stories are some of the shitholes that they've actually had to set up the gear in or they played in. Do you guys have any places that stand out that you walked in and either it was amazing you had to play there or you were sort of on the other side of like, we got to move all these cows first, you know, something.
Yeah.
You guys have any ones that stand out of places that you think are worth mentioning?
When I played the Rave in Milwaukee, that was pretty lit. You played there, haven't you? Mm-mm. It's like, it's just a pretty well-known place. There's like Mac Miller wrote something and said, "My soul remains here," and it's really creepy. And he wrote it like under the 27 mark, and then in the pool, like there's a pool that if you sell it out three times, you get to like sign the pool, or whatever. And he wrote it. And he signed and wrote his message. I could pull it up on my phone. It might take a minute, but it says, "Yada yada yada, my soul remains here," and it's under the 27 depth, like feet.
That's
part,
crazy.
Which is like super.
I didn't
tricky.
Know that part about it.
Oh yeah, it's like super tricky.
Huh.
But I mean, that place is pretty cool. I mean, you go to like the Dusty Armadillo and it's dusty, but it's lit. You know what I'm saying? It's like
I'm in there yet.
I'm trying to think of like places we've played a lot of good venues, but I feel like
there's a few bad ones.
The crowd, I feel like makes it worse than anything. It could be a mm-hmm. sick venue if the crowd ain't cool, or it could be a shitty brutal. Venue. Crowd's ass.
Yeah.
How did you do in California? We can be mean.
Dude, it was fun. I mean, I think they don't get a lot of country music. So when they do, I mean, they were some of the wildest crowds. California and New York were like some of the wildest crowds.
I will say.
To be honest.
Where'd you go in California?
We went to Anaheim, San Diego, and one more place. I don't remember.
Did I forget?
There were House of Blues. Two were House of Blues. And one, I think I can't remember where else we went, but.
Did you do Jones Beach in New York?
No, we did the Paramount in Huntington.
Sure. Jones Beach is beautiful. It overlooks the ocean. It's like it's such a nice gig. It's a beautiful venue for real.
I haven't been there yet.
Oh, in time, my friend, in time. They like country up there. So
they really do.
Yeah, actually, country's huge now all over the world. It's interesting. There's these guys on here. Have you heard of Waylon? But it's not Waylon Jennings. His name is Waylon, and he's massive. And he's a country artist, but he's like Scandinavian or something.
Scandinavian,
huge,
Waylon.
Now, who? I don't know. I wouldn't have thought. I was kind of making fun of it, but it ain't actually anything to make fun of. It's fucking cool, is what it is. You know, the diversify was great. I mean,
anybody that just makes a career out of music in general is fucking, they ought to at least have some respect because this shit's hard. Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
I have a lot more respect for people now than I used to.
You can have a lot of high highs and you can have a lot of low lows, and just as quick as it's fucking here, it's gone. Like it's crazy. I mean, just the amount of whatever. Yeah. Just the dealing with everything. It's pretty.
Yeah,
it's an endurance game, marathon, not a sprint for sure.
Yeah. All right. I was putting together this podcast, and my buddies have little kids. My friend's daughter was in elementary school, and she said I should ask every guest when they first felt famous.
Okay.
So I ask each of you guys, when did you first feel famous? If you don't want to say you feel famous, and I really don't give a shit if you feel famous or not, so you can answer it any way you want. But if pick a moment in your careers that was like a change, something happened that meant something to you. When was there a moment to each of you guys that's like worth telling?
I remember when I first had, I guess you could say it was feeling famous, because like having people sing back words to a song is just a good damn feeling. It's like the crowd control of you being able to be like, y'all sing this shit. It don't matter if it's, you know, your song or not. It feels good to like have them sing back to you. And I was, it's like 2017 Riley Green's Back 40 Bash. And Muscadine Bloodline played, and Tyler Reeve played, and Reed Morse played. I wasn't even on the list. They didn't even put my name up there. And I got to sing one song, and it was Hurricane by Luke Combs. It was like right before it kind of was – I don't think it was a number one just yet. So I felt like I knew it more than everybody else did. But these Riley Green fans obviously knew Luke Combs because they were like me. They knew Riley Green, whatever that is. So like, anyways, they sang that shit back to me like it was my song, and I felt like – just that wave. I was like, wow, what the fuck if that was my song? And I had that the first ever time I released Raising the Radio in 2018. And I played a show a week after that in hopes, and it worked, in hopes that people would know it enough to, you know, have the crowd sing along. And they did. And that was another solid moment of like, damn, this is, I'm like, as fucked up it is, I'm chasing that much of a high. Cause that shit, right? I mean, I smoke pot. That shit, it's a high for sure. Yeah. You seen anybody sing your songs? It's like, it's just cool. You're like, damn, it could be three people in the crowd that are in the back that you could just see them just vibing along to it that know it. It's like, wow. It's just still
cool. It's really cool.
Yeah. That's part.
What do you got, Dylan?
Man, I think it's kind of like the same thing. We played a show in like North Carolina. It was kind of after this tour. And, it was really, there was just a lot of people there that were, it was another Dylan Scott show, but it was kind of off the tour. And that was just probably the most people we've had like singing my stuff back. It kind of felt like the needle was starting to move, you know?
Yeah. You think your mom was proud? It was a proud moment.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What are your guys' backgrounds? Why did you guys start writing music?
That's weird. That's a weird question.
Like, yeah. Was your mom and dad into music? What got you into like sitting there and starting to write stuff?
Buddies, really?
Yeah, I had a buddy with a guitar that down the street, and his grandpa died and gave it to him.
Okay.
And he kind of brought it to the house, and I started learning. I think I learned like Wagon Wheel or something. And from there, you kind of figure out country is the same chords.
Facts.
So if you take chords from Wagon Wheel, you can play, I don't know, song by somebody else and keep learning new songs with not really having to learn too many different chords, you know, and then kind of grew into the songwriting thing really, really early on. And that's what kind of got me hooked. And so here we are.
How cool is that? Simple sounding.
I mean, obviously there's a lot more. I could probably spend 2 hours on it, but I mean,
yeah,
just meeting people meeting people and playing like some open mic nights back home and this little restaurant we had. And
so have you written any lyrics that you read back and you're like, that's fucking good, how did I write that?
I've had some that I've looked back and read that, and I've had some that I've looked back and wondered why I thought that made any sense.
I have a couple I hate, but they're already it's too late, you know, and you look at it like such a bad lyric. how did it not get cut out of that? Why? Who did that?
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, well, you move on. I don't know, whatever. Nothing's fucking perfect. So
no, not at all.
Hopefully you do the more better ones and it all works out, you know.
Yeah, luckily nobody else has to hear all the bad ones unless you put them out. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I remember you see that thing with Joni Mitchell on the other day? She got up and she sang, you know, and she's you guys know who Joni Mitchell is?
Mm-mm.
All right. Amazing old folk singer, Woodstock. We talked about Wagon Wheel, it was Bob Dylan. So like that whole era of stuff. And she got on and she sang some stuff. She's sitting in a chair, you know, she was almost died a few years ago. So it's pretty cool. It's magical stuff, man. And she's sitting in the chair singing these songs, and she's got all these ladies around who are big names and mostly country, actually, or not mostly, but one of the judges on stage with her. And so they're giving her accolades, which are so well deserved, but it's really, really cool. but you hear her sing the words that she sings and it's like, fuck, you're good. But she came out with an album called Hits, makes sense. But then she came out with this one called Misses and it's like the songs that didn't do so good. And she came out with an album of just that. So it shows you how big she is to pull that shit off. But at the same time,
you gotta have some balls to do that.
Kind of nutty, right? Kind of nutty. So it was cool. I don't know. I like that lady, especially after that performance. Can you imagine now? I mean, I'm going to say we're young, but we're young and you go out there and you play your song. But you can imagine doing it when it's kind of mean, but you're knocking on death's door. I mean, it's pretty cool, yeah. Dude. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
What about you? Now, what got you into wanting to do this?
Something similar. I always play guitar and played in church and stuff like that. And had a buddy and was doing the same thing. I was actually doing the kind of the artist thing or whatever, trying to pursue it. Already released a couple songs. Started just like backup singing, playing guitar for him, and then called me out one restaurant and people gave me the validation that I should keep doing it. And as everybody does, you get better and kind of settle into your voice, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And
that's in high school or earlier? Or?
I think I would have graduated by then. I just graduated. I just graduated. It was summer of 17.
You just graduated from high school?
No.
Oh.
Summer of 17 is when I graduated.
Oh, okay.
So that around that era, I was kind of like really, that's when it kind of sort of taking the lift off.
Looking for stuff. Oh, that's cool. And then your family did cattle?
Yes. Cattle, chickens. We have a chicken farm, really. Which is a lot of chickens. You'd be probably shocked.
Yeah.
90,000 a flock.
Holy, oh wow.
And that's a small
9,000 chickens.
That's a small farm. We're a smallish farm. They'll have like the mega houses have like 60,000 a house.
Do you eat chicken?
Oh yeah.
You do? Oh, so I had a buddy from Bakersfield and he had chickens and he went in chickens. He goes, they're filthy animals.
I mean, they are filthy, but I mean, you ain't eating.
You ain't eating the filth.
Exactly.
That's what I thought. I eat chicken.
Yeah.
What did your family do, Dylan?
My dad does construction, so I worked with him for a while. He owns his own company, and he used to play drums in a heavy metal Christian rock band.
Okay.
Where I was born. So he's always been, like, super cool with this journey, you know, which has been a blessing to have parents that are really cool with me leaving. And
it is.
Yeah, because I think my mom had me when she was like 17. So they never really had to got to chase their dream. So they've been really pushing me and my brothers to kind of do our thing, you know, which has been really cool.
Maybe you guys are their dream. Not to be cheesy, but I think maybe, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's really cool. I think they get to kind of live it out through us. So.
100%.
That's awesome. Do you guys find living with each other that you like, will you walk in, he's playing a song or something, and you'll be like, let me get in on that. I'll write with you.
In COVID for sure.
Yeah, we're not really home that much. Yeah, now, to be honest.
Getting over like, oh, you write the day? Yeah, me too. Like, hell yeah. I'm going to the gym.
Yeah.
We're
not really home that much. I mean, yeah.
Do you guys write more because you live in the number musician or nah, it doesn't matter?
We'd probably still write the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, did you write?
I mean, both writing for our artist projects, you know. So
do you try to write like a song a day or a song a week, or is there any kind of like regimen, or you just write when you feel like it?
Whenever my publisher books my rides, that's when I write.
Yeah, it's usually like 3 to 5 times a week. I mean, and if like, you know, if we both have those guys you call like if you have a good idea. If you have a good idea and it's 12 o'clock at night, well, it's like might as well use that inspiration. So
yeah,
it's always better to write when it's like inspiration rather than just, I know some guys that write like 8 songs a week and like there's no creativity in that, you know.
It's hard. A song a day, I think Dolly Parton, and then what's her name, major songwriter, Diane Warren, she writes a song a day too, supposedly. But
there's something to be said about working that muscle. I've read 3 chapters of a songwriting book, and that had way more than 3 chapters in it. But I just, how far I got into it, and one of the things it did say was like,
not enough photos.
Well, one of the exercises it said to do was take an index card or take, you know, a piece of paper, and you don't even write, you don't even make a melody, you don't do anything, you just work the lyric. You say, like if you're trying to write, you know, grandma's like dirt, you could say like dirt up under your grandma's porch. We can all smell the dirt up under a porch. That was like the example it used, and it just had a freaking, it was crazy how imagery or how imaginative, whatever the fuck that word is.
It made you.
Yeah, it made me see it. And I was just reading like a little thing about dirt. And it was just saying, if you do that every day, set a timer, it don't matter if you finish it or not, you'll end up just obviously like falling, falling to be like, where you can dive into that. Because everybody, when I feel like when you sit down with co-writers, especially big co-writers, like, you're all fishing in the same, you're all fishing on a pond. We all have our different boats, and they might be out in the middle of the lake just sitting their line, and they ain't doing anything. We're over here just casting like hell over here, but they catch a big ass fish over there, and you're like, what the fuck? And you're whatever that is. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you got to just figure out where,
yeah,
just kind of where you, how to know your spots and know where to dive in yourself. And if you're going to write about a girl missing a girl, then all right, what are the key things up top and what are the trickle down?
I think it helps if you play Fishing Master, and that helps. That makes it way easier.
Or go fishing, just say fuck songwriting and go fishing.
That works too.
That's where
depends though. You gonna drink Budweiser or Miller? I don't know if I trust you, dude. I don't even know who you are.
I don't even really drink. I partake in the marijuana. Marijuana.
A lot of the people that come on here, they don't drink. It's called Party Like a Rock Star. But the thing is, a lot of us old fellas, I think I called myself young earlier, now I call myself old. Yeah, they quit. They're all AA, they're rehab. They don't, a lot of older roadies don't drink no more and stuff. Yeah. So sure, it's okay. It's a good thing. Keeps your brain clean, makes it so you wake up in the morning, you go work out or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Whatever. We'll see. So we got songs coming out of you that have nothing to do with drinking soon, huh?
I got a couple songs with drinking in them.
Yeah.
Good.
Or do you have your six picked out? Obviously, I'm sure it's coming out in September.
Yeah, so it's like we're just taking two songs that I already have out and putting them on adding three songs, so it'll be five total.
Oh, okay.
And they're just all up tempo, really.
So you gotta put out, I feel like.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate guys' time. You got any other stories or anything you want to say? You're welcome to throw them my way. If not,
what's your craziest story? I mean, I want to hear yours. Like, what's your Guns N' Roses? I got to see them live. I know Slash and Axl. I can't remember the bass player. When I grew up playing guitar, all I cared about was Slash. Didn't really give a shit about anybody else.
okay, Duff.
I got to watch them live.
He's awesome. He's amazing.
Axl changed outfits literally 12 times in the first 30 minutes. Like, he would every, like, in the middle of a song, he'd walk out and come out in a different outfit. I swear,
it's Georgia. It's hot.
I mean, we were in the old Georgia Dome, and it was, I mean, it's just air conditioned.
You know what it really is I think backstage there was these ladies and they have the fans, so he goes back there to talk to them and get changed.
I mean, he is Axl Rose.
I think that's really why. All right, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like and subscribe by clicking the round button on the bottom right. To learn more about me or the guests on the show, go to joelrody.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok. The handle's Joel Rody. And don't forget, when you party like a rock star, don't be a dick.